Well, it began with a book that I wrote, Your Right to Know, which was a citizen's guide to finding out information. And one of the things I mentioned in the book that people could do was ask about MPs' expenses. So I thought, well, if I'm telling people to do that, I possibly should do it myself. So in 2004, I asked the House of Commons about releasing MPs' expenses. And at that time, they said, we're going to release them in October 2004. But what they actually released were just these bulk totals, which didn't really tell me what I wanted to know. So that sort of began a series of FOI requests, different ones trying to get to the root of the raw documents, which were the receipts behind the claims.
Why do you think it's important that people should know what their MPs are spending right down to the last detail?
Because it's only in the detail that you really get, whether you find the truth. And that's always been the way any good investigation works, is that it's all very well to talk in generalizations, but what you really have to do if you're trying to get down to the nub of the truth is look for the actual detail, and that's only available in the receipts.
What do you make of the way in which the information has come out? Because you were expecting the request finally for that you put in to be realised in July this year with a publication, redacted publication, of all these receipts. It actually came out through a leaked compact disc, we think, that the Daily Telegraph paid for. How do you feel about that?
Well, obviously, I would have liked to have that story. But it was not going to be published exclusively to anybody in particular. I mean, it was meant to be for the public. And the House of Commons had announced back in May last year that would all be available in October of 2008. So when they didn't publish that, the thing that they did by suppressing the information, they gave it a black market value. Now somebody's come along, spotted that market opportunity and capitalised on it. I can't say I particularly blame them because that was all public information that should have been out there. And the only thing that put value on it was the House of Commons' decision to suppress it.
You say that the reason why the information was suppressed in particular, or one of the main reasons for it, is the role of the Speaker, Michael Martin. Can you talk a bit more about his role in all of this and what you think about it?
Well, one of the earlier requests I did was asking for the names and salaries of MP staff, because that's one type of allowance they get is for their staff. And he, right off the bat, signed a certificate which was an absolute exemption under parliamentary privilege, which prevented that information being released to the public. So that kind of gave me my first taste of the way he thinks about freedom of information. And then with the High Court, again, even though his own legal team was against going to the High Court, he decided that he would spend taxpayer money to fight that battle. And in a way, I feel it was a kind of intimidating thing to do, because once you're at the High Court, you have to pay costs. And as a private individual, obviously, to pay, you know, a couple hundred grand is not going to really sit well in my bank account. Fortunately, I had lawyers who were able to get me legal insurance, and I could carry on into the High Court, and then I won. But even then, you know, behind the scenes, it's just carried on. You know, new requests that I make are still being obstructed, and one has to think that the word comes from the head of the Members' Estimates Committee, which is Michael Martin, and that's really where the obstruction originates.